Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 155. I'm Rob Wright, security news director at TechTarget, and I am here with security news writer Alex Kulafi. Alex, welcome.
Thanks, Rob. Glad to be here.
We are back at our podcasting gig, not in Chernobyl, not in our office. Podcasting remotely once again in week whatever it is of our out of office lockdown quarantine experience. How are you holding up?
I'm doing okay. Well, I said glad to be here, and I should have specified I'm glad to be in my home with all this going down.
Yeah.
But yes. I don't know if it's a bit of a Stockholm syndrome thing going on that, like, I'm now feeling safe at home and, like, I don't want to leave.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I mean, we had news the other day in our state, Massachusetts, and I should note we're recording this on Thursday, May 14th, that there's going to be sort of a slow, like, four phase plan to start trying to get back to normal, getting people back into their places of work. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I too am glad that I am home and safe, but starting to go stir crazy as this reaches, like, you know, month three of an however many weeks of the lockdown, shutdown, whatever. I guess quarantine is the wrong word to use. I saw somebody harping about this because I guess if you're quarantined, you have it. Is that right? If you're quarantined, you have it, and you have to be isolated. I don't know. Does it matter?
Or maybe you're at risk of having it.
Yeah. Which we're not. We're avoiding it.
Right.
You know,
we're just staying home.
Yeah. If we didn't get it, and I'm going to touch on this later. If we didn't get it at RSA, then I think we're probably not going to get it now. But, you know, who knows? On that note, today's topic, as expected, Black Hat 2020 USA and DEF CON 2020, or whatever it is, DEF CON 27, I believe it's 27, are canceled. Canceled in the sense that the live events have been called off as we assumed they would be. They were announced, I believe, on the same day, and they are both having virtual events in place of the in-person events in Las Vegas. Black Hat was scheduled to be held at Mandalay Bay, as usual, and the DEF CON show was, interestingly enough, going to be held at Caesar's Palace again. Alex, for you who has not been to DEF CON or Black Hat, I say interestingly enough, little backstory here. DEF CON was held at Caesar's Palace a couple of years ago. There was some incidents with hotel security where they were making sort of unannounced entrances into people's rooms. A lot of attendees would put, you know, do not disturb signs up on their doors to prevent any people from going in their room, including, you know, the staff to, you know, to turn over the room. So the bunch of people were upset. DEF CON said, the organizers say, this is an outrage. We're never doing this again. So last year they moved it over to Paris and Planet Hollywood and a couple of other hotels across the street. They kind of spread it out. And then this year they, for whatever reason, decided to go back to Caesars. And unfortunately, the event now is called off. So I was kind of interested to see how that grand experiment was going to work out at Caesars and how many people were willing to go back there. But regardless, when the news happened, Alex, what was your reaction? First of all, were you surprised at all?
I wasn't surprised. I was disappointed because I've never been to Las Vegas before. Although the people who I've talked to who've been to Las Vegas many times have been like, you're better off not going.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
and then it seems like a cool event, which is like the most important reason. But I would say not surprised, but certainly disappointed, but probably for the best.
Yeah, yeah. And I should note, I misspoke. DEF CON 27 was last year. DEF CON 28 is this August, which will, again, be virtual. I was a little disappointed as well, but I wasn't surprised. I think we're, after a few weeks of going through this, probably since about, I don't know, maybe a month ago, like early April is when I think it started to dawn on both you and I and other people as we talked, you know, in our news team meetings that hey, even if things start to improve here, large gatherings seem to be the worst possible idea at containing this right now, and sort of the highest risk setting for coronavirus, for COVID-19, and therefore live sporting events and big public gatherings, whether it's parades or concerts and conferences, are just a bad idea. So I don't think, yeah, you didn't expect it to be held. You know, I didn't expect it either. But yes, I think Black Hat and DEF CON are pretty good events. You've obviously been to RSA. Your first RSA was this year.
Yep.
Black Hat is slightly smaller event, but pretty big, and what one of our colleagues refers to as RSA in the desert. I don't think it's quite that. I think there's still a lot of really good vulnerability research and security research that is debuted at that show, or at least teased ahead of the show, and then the goods are opened up at the show. It's really it's less about the products and the marketing and all that stuff, and more about, I think, the research into various threats and vulnerabilities and zero days and things like that. DEF CON is still sort of like the type of conference that is, I think, more, for lack of a better term, has more street credibility with the community. But they're good shows to go to really interact with the InfoSec community, to really see how these guys do their work, whether they're associated with a vendor, whether they work directly for a vendor, whether they work directly for an enterprise on an enterprise security team, or whether they're independent and they make their living off of bug bounties or bug hunting or consulting or whatever. It's a really good experience. And they're, you know, back to back. Black Hat starts first up the street, and then you move down the street and you get into DEF CON. And but I'll tell you this, man, those events are so, so crowded. Like they're held in very like smaller spaces than RSA. And RSA got crowded. I mean, did you feel like RSA at the Moscone was like at times a little congested, a little crowded, that there were a lot of people, even this year when I'm sure there was fewer attendees because of coronavirus?
So it certainly was crowded. What I would say is that there were many opportunities to get out of the rat race, as it were.
Mm, yeah.
Like there were many less populated places. So if it started to get overwhelming, despite how crowded it was, there were ways to escape.
And that's the thing with the setting for Black Hat. Like Black Hat, I've joked about this in previous podcasts. I've vented about it a lot to people I know and colleagues in the office and colleagues elsewhere, just about how going to that, the opening keynote at Mandalay Bay, the Mandalay Bay sort of big stage in their convention center, and then trying to get out through this. It's not a narrow hall. It's a pretty wide hall. And then it's a fairly long corridor that leads back to the rest of the convention center. But getting out of there is really, really tough. And you're right on top of other people. And I don't see how they could have had that event or had any part of the conference with that many people sort of shoulder to shoulder, stepping on people's heels, and that close, going up escalators, elevators, and that long corridor in the Mandalay Bay Convention Center, to say nothing of the crowded nature of DEF CON last year. I want to quickly note here, Alex, this, I thought this was interesting. So in the announcement from DEF CON, so Jeff Moss, who is the organizer for DEF CON, he's the founder of the show. He's also the founder of Black Hat, later sold Black Hat, which is now owned by a different company. But Jeff Moss said in his announcement, he said that they actually made the decision to call off the in-person event like a month ago. I think he said on April 11th. But they held off on making it public because there was all this work that had to go into talking with staff, lawyers, making all these, I guess, arrangements and cancellations and figuring out how to do all this stuff. And I think, you know, they wanted to make sure that they could navigate the process, quote unquote, before they publicly announced. But is that surprising to you that they made it that long ago?
Would it be cynical to say, no, I'm not really surprised?
No, man, it's not cynical at all. I guess I wasn't surprised maybe at the date. I get maybe a little surprised that they held off as long as they did before making the public announcement. But yeah, I guess there is a lot. I mean, I have people in my life that have that hold events and that go to events, and their companies hold big events. And I've talked with a few of them, and just hearing about all the stuff that goes into figuring out how to get people's money back, to say nothing of like your deposits for hotels for major events like this. I mean, they're huge, and negotiating getting that money back from the hotels and the conference centers. Well, it seemed like it was no easy feat. So, I guess it's understandable.
Yeah. Just thinking about like the future, cause I'm like, okay, yeah. DEF CON and Black Hat, we're not going to go to them this year, but hopefully we'll go to them next year. But then I was thinking about RSA next year, and I was like, wait a second, that's going to be in February, probably. Vaccine, hopefully January to February. What will the current state of large gatherings be at that point? What stage in the 4-stage plan will we even be back to in Massachusetts?
Yeah.
And like, yeah. It's a little sad to think that like maybe even RSA might not be a go next year.
Yeah. And that's, so if you had asked me like, you know, back in February, like early February, as things were starting to happen and, you know, cases were being confirmed on the West Coast in Oregon, and you had said, what's more likely, that RSA this year is canceled or that Black Hat and DEF CON in August are canceled? And I would have told you 100%. I mean, even the day before we were leaving, I'm like, is there a chance that RSA is going to get canceled? Like, I really thought RSA was going to get postponed or outright canceled. And now it obviously was not the case, but it just goes to show you what, like, how things change pretty rapidly. But you're right. Like, I don't know that, like, if things start to improve, with no sort of guarantee of, you know, a treatment, whether it's a drug or a vaccine, like, I don't know how the event organizers for RSA or any of these other big conferences, tech conferences that we go to as a company, are going to be able to convince people. Like, let's say they want to hold them and they think there's a good chance that they can hold them and everyone is going to be safe. Like, even if there are sort of things that can mitigate this, like, I don't know that people are going to be willing to do it. Like, I think they may just say, like, I'm going to tune in, you know, RSA, they stream a lot of those sessions. They stream a lot of obviously the keynotes. Like, a lot of people might just say, well, I'm going to take a pass this year. And what does that do to the conferences? Like, if you're the RSA organizers, like, what do you do? Do you just say, well, if a significant portion of people are not going to come this year, let's just keep it virtual? I don't know.
Yeah, it's been very interesting to notice how virtual events have been sort of carried out in the stead of the in-person ones. And just seeing the different formats that have existed. Like, so this is in the video game space, not necessarily cybersecurity, but they've also had to deal with the same stuff. And E3, the biggest event, got canceled, and the virtual event got canceled. So Jeff Keighley got together the Summer Game Fest, which was kind of, he pulled together all of these disparate parts of the industry and then made one virtual event to pull everything together. That was like kind of an independent thing. And yep. I wonder if instead of doing all these little events over the next 12 months, if maybe the cybersecurity industry would benefit from something similar, like maybe the RSA or Black Hat folks would say, hey, instead of making this little event, why not we make something bigger and collaborate with all these other people? I don't know if it's realistic, but I don't know. I just think the Summer Game Fest is a cool idea.
I did too, and good for Jeff. I know he's taken some flack over the years, but I thought that was a pretty good idea and good move. I don't know. I actually was thinking the other way. Like I thought to myself, well, this may present an opportunity for a lot of different subsets of the InfoSec community, whether it's the vendors, the researchers, whoever, to start kind of creating their own events, like small virtual, maybe even just like a small virtual get together or a meetup, a regional type thing. And how is that going to change the landscape for InfoSec conferences going forward? I mean, we saw this happen, not with conferences, but we saw how quickly these things, people can come together in the community here. Ariel, our colleague, Ariel Waldman, wrote an interesting story about the COVID-19 Cyber Alliance, which, I mean, that started with like a simple little Slack channel, you know, like a open channel for people to just get together. And before you know it, there's like, you know, there's, I think they said they had 4,000 volunteers. So maybe something like that can happen. Maybe something like the COVID-19 cyber threat coalition, rather, not alliance. Maybe something like that could start to happen on a bigger or a small scale with virtual events. Who knows? But let's, I want to talk to you about these virtual events. I'm chuckling a little bit, not because I think they're deserving of ridicule, and I don't think they've been very good. I've tuned into a couple. I know you checked out one the other day, and we don't have to mention the names of the vendors of the events, but I'm kind of curious, like, what your overall like impression has been of these things. Like, do you think, from what you've seen, I guess in a limited capacity, like, do you think they can sort of approximate the live in-person event, or no?
The event that I went to, I only went to one event, but if it is any indication, companies are going to try their darndest to pull off these events as close to a conference as possible. The one I went to, I would call it cute, the conference I saw, because you go to the landing page, you sign in with your email, and it shows like a picture of a conference, like a main stage. And then you have these different buttons where it's like main stage, breakout room, socializing or whatever. And then you go to the main stage and you see the keynote at 11 a.m. They put up all their keynotes for the day, so you could watch them in any order you want. Skip ahead, go back anytime. And you can engage with it that way. And on every page, there were always staff members who were willing to talk to you about whatever. So it was accessible. There were chat rooms set up, so you could sort of engage with your fellow viewer. And am I allowed to say how many people went to this event that I went to? I won't say what the event was.
Yeah, I mean, you can give a ballpark number.
It was a little over 2,000. Yeah, we're live at one time, which I thought was quite impressive for something that was based on a website. So,
yeah.
All things said, I was impressed. Like, I called it cute. I was still, like, I was impressed by how successfully they pulled it off to get that vibe going. That's kind of what I mean by cute.
Yeah. No, I would agree with you. So I've checked out a few events. One I was in for, it was a sort of a small, like it wasn't an open conference. It was sort of an invite only type event for a vendor. And I think they work out well, sort of, but they're, I mean, like live events are dependent on a lot of things, but to your point about sort of trying to generate the look and feel of like a real event. I've seen that a couple times. I've seen that prior to the pandemic. I've seen events sort of, you know, like here's a virtual showroom floor and here's a virtual happy hour. I'll tell you a funny story, a quick story. A former employer of mine, this is years ago, many years ago. There was a really well-known event, tech event, that had closed down, and they resurrected it as a virtual event. And they made it look like it was being held in the location that it had been held at when it was a live event. And they had it on the website. I mean, they didn't say, hey, the virtual event is here. I mean, because it's just silly. It's a virtual event. But apparently one of the people that registered for the event didn't realize it was virtual and showed up in the location in the city that this had been held and like called our company and called like us, like on the editorial side, being like, where, I don't know where I'm going. Like I showed up here and there's no one in this spot where it usually is. And we were just like, ah, that's too bad. I think you can give people the feel of an event, of especially of an older event that's a certain amount of nostalgia and a certain type of expected content. And I think Black Hat and DEF CON, like they have a very loyal audience. They have a lot of like really good speakers year in and year out. I think they'll be able to do this. I think they'll be able to deliver the keynotes and find a way even for people to be at least somewhat interactive with asking questions. Cause I think the Q&As after some of these sessions are really where a lot of interesting things can take place. Sometimes there's confrontations. Sometimes there's just stuff that doesn't show up in the session for whatever reason, but is sort of dropped at the end that, you know, can really change the way you think about a particular topic or a vulnerability or a technology. Sometimes there's stuff that the speakers slip up and announce that they shouldn't have announced. There's all sorts of stuff like that happens. So we'll see if, you know, if chats or maybe people being able to like zoom in or I don't know how they're going to do it. I hope that is incorporated. But the thing that I think they're going to sorely miss, really miss, is sort of the social aspect of these events. Whether it's like the quote unquote, the lobby cons, the social gatherings and people getting together and, you know, putting faces to names and, you know, us doing our interviews and our meetings and like getting together with sources and stuff like that. Like that's obviously you're not going to have that, but the social aspect of a DEF CON or a Black Hat is that huge advantages for those shows compared to, I think, RSA and other big vendor shows. And so I feel like that's, you know, I don't know how they're going to replicate that. I know that they said that they're going to have some social events, virtual events, but I don't know how that's going to work. I'm sort of skeptical. So
yeah, the other downside, and granted, this might be me as a journalist talking, but when I think about the things you're talking about, the whole surprise news, confrontations, all that stuff. If we just have 50 vendor events over the next year, everything is going to be pre-recorded, or yeah, it's going to be to a script, or it's going to be in Zoom. And if it's a vendor, they're going to have a press release with all the relevant news come out at the same time as the videos release. So, like, unless it's Black Hat or DEF CON or RSA doing a virtual event where they make it so that you can only do live recordings, the news, the surprise news thing might die a little, at least for the near future.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely going to have an effect on the news cycle in some capacity, whether the, especially like you said, if the sessions are pre-recorded, but maybe some of them, I mean, hopefully the keynotes won't, but I suspect for like a larger event, like probably Black Hat, I don't know. I don't know if they'll be able to stream however many concurrent sessions that they have at one time. That seems like a pretty tough task, but hey, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Part of me is very, I'm kind of glad they're happening because I'm curious to see how they do. It won't be the same as being there. I was looking forward to being in Vegas with you guys, but because I don't think Ariel's ever been to Vegas and obviously hasn't been to Black Hat or DEF CON either. So, but, you know, the virtual events will be interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you, Alex, for getting together with me virtually. For this edition of the Risk and Repeat podcast.
Thank you, Rob. Always a pleasure.
And thank you to the readers and listeners of Cert Security. I'm Rob Wright, and we will see you next time.